Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the All Things Georgia Call-In Show, presented by UGASports.com. I'm your host, Paul Meharry, joined alongside Andy Stowe, as always, Eddie from Ackworth, and a special guest, Jason Butt. Jason, we appreciate having you on tonight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, man, of course. Wouldn't be anywhere else in the world than right here on this lovely Sunday.
I really appreciate it. And Eddie has swimming goggles on. Are you trying to wade through the bull crap? What's going on?
These are my red Georgia goggles that I wear when the draft is going on and when we talk about the draft, Paul. So I thought I'd wear them for you, right?
Nice. Very good. Yeah,
like that?
So that's kind of an inside joke there. We'll get to that later on in the show. You can take them off now if you'd like.
Good,
you
just can't hardly see and it hurts.
I was going to say, you come for those the whole show. Guys, if you're just now joining us for the first time or you're a longtime watcher, listener, we appreciate you so much. A couple house rules. You got to let us know where you're watching from. Put that into the comments. And then also, if you've got questions, put them in the comments as well. It helps our show tremendously because having to come off the top of our head with questions and answers for a whole hour, we just can't do it. So we need your help the most. So we already see some familiar faces in here. James Caraway saying, I hope Terry Fontenot is watching tonight. I hope he is too.
Right.
Gators KB says, too busy scheming to mess up next year's draft is where he's at. Goat Dog's in here. Josh Skelton with a new picture, not his dog on his bed anymore. We actually get to see him. He's a real person. We got Foster Moss. What's up, Foster? Good to see you, brother. Tub goggles, he says. I don't know about that. Mike Bennett says he's watching from Augusta. We got Helen Georgia in the building, Columbus, Georgia. And Foster, yeah, he left you off, but we got you back, JB. We got Jason Butt in the building. Guys, first initial reaction is heartbreak for the Falcons. We won't go there right away. We'll start with the UGA guys. We'll bring some positivity to the show before we really dive in and try to harm ourselves in the latter part of the show. Brock Bauer started off for the Georgia Bulldogs, 13th to the Oakland Raiders. I feel like he fell a little bit there.
Chargers. He went to the Chargers, right?
No. He went to the Raiders, Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was the mistake Paul made. It was Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, yes, I said
Oakland. Sorry. Yeah, you said Oakland. Got me confused. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. And I actually got a top charge.
Yeah, and we're off, boys. And we're off.
Here we go. We got Carol in here watching from Beaumont, Texas. Appreciate that. Sonia's in here. We appreciate you as well. So Brock goes first for the Dogs. And the second guy on Thursday night, Amarius Mims, goes number 18 to the Bengals. So those are the two draft picks on day one for Georgia. Normally there's a little bit more. It feels like two is a lower number. We did have an over-under, guys, of 2.5. Andy, do you still have those?
1 second. Yeah.
Okay, he'll get those pulled up. While he's doing that, Jason, we didn't bring you on here just because you look good. What were your thoughts as well?
Well, when it comes to the Raiders, I think Bowers has an immediate chance to play. Michael Mayer, they just selected him too. Mm-hmm. So they got the two tight ends going there. Obviously, Antonio Pierce takes over full-time. So not the not completely the Josh McDaniels regime, although he was under that group there. However, I think it's just one of those things where it doesn't matter what position. He's a positionless type of guy. He's gonna come in and be a day one starter with the 13th overall pick. That's a no brainer. Amarius Mims to Cincinnati is interesting. They for the last couple of years they've really needed offensive line help. So for the Bengals to get somebody like Mims to help protect Joe Burrow. Burrow's obviously become one of the best NFL quarterbacks. I remember what 2 years ago or three, whenever it was when they were in the Super Bowl, the one thing that was their kind of Achilles heel was the offensive line in terms of protection. It seemed like Burrow was always having to be a magician there. So to get somebody like Mims, I think that should be pretty big. I mean, yes, he's a right tackle. He's not your left tackle blindside guy, but they need all the help they can get really. When it comes to the offensive line. So I think both those guys landed, at least in the first round. I'm sure we'll get to Ladd McConkey in the second, but those two guys, landed in really good spots.
Do you think, Jason, that Amarius Mims can be a starter from day one, or is he a
rookie? Yeah, I mean, you don't take him in the first round if you don't think he's going to start right away.
What if you take the eighth pick overall? Do you think he can start?
The eighth pick overall?
Yeah. What about
I think Paul said we'll get to that.
We'll get there.
I got many thoughts. I think we all do. We'll
Carol is a new face, so she's got a question here, and I don't want to throw the show off completely, but she says, and I'm doing this for you, Carol, because you're asking questions. I appreciate it. She says, do you feel Georgia's schedule is one of the most challenging one in recent years? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those road games, man, what do they have? Ole Miss.
The next 2 years running. Right.
Yeah,
Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas.
You get to flip it around at least and come home for those. But you got Ole Miss, Alabama, and Texas all on the road next year. Be thankful that you have Carson Beck leading this team out there and as a senior. And yeah, very, very tough, Carol. We got Barry watching from Screven County. I think I've heard of that. I'm not going to call
that's fake. Real. That's
yeah, I'm real. Not going to. I'm not going to call fake county on that. I have heard of that, but that's close. That's close to being fake. Keith's watching from Woodstock. What's up, Keith? Hope you're doing well.
My neighbor.
Paul, yeah, I just pulled up that list. I got that list.
Oh, you got the list?
So you said under 2.5. I said under 2.5. Eddie said 4. Foster had 3. Dogfather had 3. Josh Skelton was under. Brent was under. And Dane was under. But Big Hall said 0. So I don't know if he was, you know, joking.
Hey, he went under.
He was joking. He was joking.
to start off day of the Friday, Ladd McConkey, 34th pick. To the Chargers. That's an interesting one. And then it kind of got going a little bit for the Dogs a little bit after that. Kamari Laster, not too far behind him. 42nd pick to the Texans. Behind him, Javon Bullard, 58th pick to the Packers. And Tyke Smith, third round, 89th to the Bucks. Out of those four guys, who plays the most immediate impact for their team? Jason, I'll start with you, and we'll kind of go around the horn.
We'll just go right to him, Ladd McConkey. I think they have some turnover there at receiver and in Los Angeles. So you're essentially a first round type of player if you're selected 34th. You know, right at the beginning of the second round, he was
especially the first round. The team moved up for him too, right?
They moved up. Yeah, that's to me. He's probably a starter week one.
Yeah,
I would assume so.
Yeah, there's not much more you can say. That's the obvious answer.
But I will say the 1A is the guy with the G on his helmet again, and that's Javon Bullard.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that guy's going to make an impact. Green Bay drafted him for a reason. They saw right here. They saw what he did right here, right?
Yeah.
And laying a guy out. There you go. And that's the kind of player Green Bay likes in the defense. So, I mean, Ladd's a no-brainer. I think Jason's 100% right. He goes in there and starts from day one. But Javon's right behind him.
Could Bullard start day one? Or
I think so.
I think he could. Yeah, I think he's. I think he's going to be one of those guys that you're going to see. You know, just absolutely have a great preseason. Javon landed out of all of these. I think Javon landed probably in the best spot with the Packers. Mm-hmm. I like that there. He's going in with Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, and Eric Stokes all there. So he's got some friends there. Even though Stokes and him, which is weird, they feel like they Stokes was here so recent. They did not play together. They did not overlap. That's weird. I thought for sure that they did. So James says Javon first team all jewelry. Hey, Kamari wasn't too far behind them with that piece that he had on too. They had some diamonds dancing for sure.
Yeah, real quick. I think Javon, like you guys said, has a great chance to start day one. But also, we've made a lot about the Philadelphia Eagles kind of being the Philadelphia Bulldogs, but Green Bay is right there. Mm-hmm. It seems like they've done their part to take a bunch of Georgia guys in recent years as well. Yep. Don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but they have to be pretty close, I'd imagine.
But mainly on the defensive side, Philadelphia's taken some offensive pieces, right? And they, I guess,
Green Bay. Because Philadelphia got Swift in the trade.
And Kendall Milton signed their practice squad.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll end up sticking on.
I'm just saying that's two offensive pieces, right? Yeah.
That rounded off Friday, and then on Saturday, this guy was one that we thought was going to go a little bit higher than he did. Cedric Van Pran Granger, fifth round, 141st pick overall to the Bills. And then after that, the last dog drafted, Zion Logue, went to the hometown team in the sixth round to the Falcons. I can tell you right now, the Bills got themselves a steal in the fifth round.
No doubt.
I mean, if there was ever a – hey, I'm just like Jamari Sawyer, player in this draft. It's Cedric Van Pran. You draft him in the fifth round. For whatever reason, he flies under people's radars. I joked with Eddie over the weekend that he was too small. That shot up Eddie's
blood. Oh, that was a joke?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sarcasm does not come through on text.
He said he was trying to have some reverse psychology on
it. Okay. All right. I missed that one. Okay.
Yeah. So we shot Eddie's blood pressure up the roof. It hadn't already been Thursday and Friday. So we did that. But yeah, the Bills got a good one. And then Zion Logue was an interesting one with the Falcons because, I mean, he saw the field for the Dogs, but not a ton. I'm curious to see what he'll be able to do with Atlanta. Hopefully he can, you know, stick around for them. So that rounds out the eight Dogs that were drafted. Then you had four more. Kendall Milton signed with the Eagles as an undrafted free agent. Dejon Edwards with the Steelers. Marcus Roseme Jackson with the Commanders. And Tramaal Walthor with the Ravens. Out of those four, Jason, who's making the team?
Marcus Roseme Jackson.
Yeah.
I just think that the Commanders, you know, if you're talking about a fifth, sixth receiver who could play special teams, that's probably your guy. I'm not sure about the running backs, honestly. Dejon Edwards. Kendall Milton. I don't know. I don't think that those guys can play, can offer you the special teams value that Roseme Jackson can. So that's probably why I go him.
Mm-hmm. One thing that William Gray points out here, he says all these guys supporting each other is what it's all about. Great to see. Yeah. So we saw that with Javon Bullard being super excited for Kamari Laster. You had Oscar Delp and Cass Jones at Brock Bowers draft party. You had Warren Erickson. Where was he at? He was at one of them. I saw him. He was back in the corner. So old dogs, new dogs, all hanging out together. So here's the total count right now. Nice. As Dogs in the NFL. James Caraway comes through. Eagles have six. Packers have five. The Falcons, Ravens, Rams, Giants, and Steelers with four. So, hey, without further ado, right?
before we move on to that, Jason, can you explain, because I don't know, I'm a fan, how the undrafted free agent signing thing works? What does that entail?
So yeah, right after the draft, typically your priority free agents, those are guys. So right around the end of the sixth round or really middle of the sixth round, guys who are not expected. So teams, they like a guy, but they're not planning to draft him, or they're, you know, they just don't have him, you know, high enough to where they don't think he's going to be there in the seventh. They start calling those guys agents and they're like, hey, look, we like your guy. If he's undrafted, this is what we're willing to offer. And it's kind of like just an early start to free agency for those guys. Their contracts are obviously fairly low. They're typically 2 to 3 year deals right away. But you obviously aren't locked into those draft slots that, you know, there's like virtually no guarantee. Well, I mean, if you're a late round pick too, there's virtually no guarantee either, but your signing bonus is typically small. Usually you can tell when a team really likes a guy as an undrafted free agent. Sometimes you'll occasionally see like $100,000 signing bonus and you're like, okay, that guy's probably making the roster.
Okay.
Or at least you're going to have a good shot to make the roster. But, that's typically it. It's just, hey, you weren't selected and you got 90 spots in camp, you know, in the offseason to fill. So got to do it somehow. And that's kind of how
it gets started. In other words, it's better for him, Marcus Roseme Jackson, to take that deal with the Commanders than try to go to Flowery Branch in the fall and try to walk on and be a player there, right? Because he got some.
First of all, his agent takes 3% of whatever he gets. So his agent is telling Marcus Roseme Jackson, I'm going to get you a deal best possible deal because I want to get paid too.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's all about money at the end of the day.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. The Falcons, I think they had one guy they paid around $100,000. It's Jaquay Jackson, the wide receiver from Rutgers. They gave $100,000 to. So if that gives you any idea of guys to look forward to for the Falcons, but we're getting there, boys. All right.
Well, Paul, before we move on, we did have our five quarterbacks in the top 10, our over-under last week.
And there was, we did. Yeah, what's the result?
So you said over, Eddie was under, I was under, Garrett was under, Dogfather under. I think you and Foster were the only two over.
And God, he's 2-0. Jeez.
So. Man, that hurts, doesn't it?
I may need to log off now.
That hurts, doesn't it, boys? Oh, man. Paul knows a little something about the draft. That's crazy. And I'll tell you who doesn't know anything about the draft. It's the Atlanta Falcons. Mm-hmm. All right.
No, Paul was wrong. There was only four in the top 10. So, yeah, four in the top 10, five in the top 12. So,
okay.
He was wrong. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, dang. That really just took all the fire out of me that I was going. No, just kidding. No. We're back. The Falcons. Man, oh, man. So as we watched all Thursday night in the draft, oh, man, the draft was going the way that the Falcons, I mean, it was going so perfect, Eddie. Mm-hmm. It was, the thing was moving. We saw J.J. McCarthy still on the board. I'm looking around. I'm like, oh, my goodness, they can trade out of this pick. Everybody wants this pick. Instead, Zach Klein of WSB tweeted out about 2 minutes prior to the pick happening that he had heard. I guess he's got a great source inside. He's got a great source inside the Falcons. He's been around a while. He does great work over at WSB. He had heard the Falcons were taking Michael Penix Jr. And I didn't want to believe it, but I know Zach's a great reporter. I knew he wouldn't put out anything if he didn't know for sure. And about 2 minutes later, boys, the commissioner walks across the stage and announces Michael Penix Jr. to the Atlanta Falcons. And when I tell you, I got physically nauseous laying on the couch. Mm-hmm. My phone just started it was uncontrollably vibrating from the massive amounts of text messages from Andy, Eddie, my friends who are fans of other teams.
Yes.
Ben Bachman.
It was so bad, guys, that I looked at my wife. I said, I don't know if I can watch this anymore. Of course I did, though. I watched the whole first round. I did. But it's one of those things that we're going to look back on. I don't know how long it's going to take, 3, 4, 5 years maybe. And we're going to say, wow, what could have been had they gotten such and such guy at number 8? Had they moved back? Had they done? There's just so many different things. And now I've seen multiple reporters come out and say this is a decent pick. They've changed their mind. They slept on it overnight.
Access.
Yeah, and I've tried.
Somebody like, you know what? Any reporter who spins this as a good pick, and I'm sorry to cut you off, it just got me going. Good. Any reporter who spins this as a good pick has access to somebody that's telling them it's a good pick. Yep. That's it. Because look, having been in the business, reporters need access. Mm-hmm. They need access to the right people to break stories. And sometimes, they'll say things to keep the access open. That in this situation, that is the only – Dan Orlovsky is the best example. I don't know if y'all saw him the other day where he said, on the air, I thought it was bad. Then I thought about it and talked to somebody in the know, and now it makes sense.
Yes.
Somebody with the Falcons talked to him and said, hey, man, this is it. You want more information? You want
more access than you agree?
I mean, obviously, it's that isn't said, but that's...
Yeah, right. But it's underlying, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
This is one of the dumbest picks I've ever seen.
It dominated, Jason. It dominated the entire draft. They were talking about it.
Yeah, it led the draft talk.
They were talking about it on Saturday at 4:30.
Yep.
NFL Network was when it was the 7th round. They're talking about this. They're talking about it in the 5th round. It's like when you open up a news segment. I went to Gray College Journalism in your A block. You want your hard-hitting stuff right there at the top of the hour because that's when most people are watching.
And that's
in every hour on the hour. It was something about the Falcons. And you know, it's just one of those things, guys. We don't know what's going to happen, but signing Kirk Cousins and then drafting Michael Penix right after that, I don't know where they went with this. Eddie, the floor is yours.
So here's what I did, guys. So I told y'all pre-show, when the Georgia Bulldogs lose on Saturday, I turn the TV off. I cannot watch the rest of college football. I'm done, okay? I don't care what happens. That's exactly what I did Friday night in the draft. The Falcons pick Michael Penix. I sat there like this in shock for a few minutes, and I turned it off. And the reason I turned it off is because I didn't want to watch player after player after player going to other teams that would make an impact this year, this coming season, okay? And the other thing I did, the next day, I wore a Falcons shirt, and I did it again today as an experiment. And every person that saw my shirt walked up to me and said, what the hell are the Falcons doing? What did they do with that pick? I got a text from my cousin, who is a diehard Saints fan, lives in New Orleans, and said, what the hell did the Falcons do drafting Michael Penix? Okay. It is universally thought this was an asinine pick. One more thing, guys. Next year, we will be watching Dallas Turner in September. We will be watching Latu in September. We will be watching Jared Verse. And Jason, on Sunday, Jared Verse will have 2 sacks and 5 individual solo tackles. We'd be like, boy, that'd be nice to have here. Our pick's sitting on the bench watching things happen. Ridiculous.
And before I go to you, Andy, because I know you've got some thoughts on this too. This is not a shot at Michael Penix. I think he's a good quarterback.
I wanted him. He's my guy.
Yeah.
Right?
He's been your guy the whole year. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love Michael Penix. That has nothing to do with that.
This has nothing to do with like his ability. His age is kind of a concern, especially since they want to sit him for 4 or 5 years. But he can't control his age, right?
He's gonna be 30 starting.
Right, but his ability.
Well, let me say that real quick. He's 24 in May. Okay.
Yeah, he'll be. Well, I think they said 24 in a few days. Yeah.
Right, but he'll be 27. That's not a big deal. Quarterbacks can play to the 40. I mean, you know, I don't think that's a big deal.
I just think. I don't want anybody to think that we don't think Michael Penix is good. I like Michael Penix as a player, but if you're going to draft Michael Penix at 8, don't spend $100 million guaranteed on Kirk Cousins, who was my guy. So yep. You know, we're sitting here with this guy who I thought this was funny during the draft. Everybody's trying to get in touch with Kirk Cousins. They're trying to get in touch with his
agent or whatever.
His agent, yeah. And his agent comes out. And says, yeah, we didn't know until they called him before it was on TV. Andy, does this leave a sour in Kirk Cousins' mouth? Because somebody did bring this up, Rappaport, I think, did, on Saturday, said Aaron Rodgers was really pissed when Jordan Love was drafted. But they got 2 years of just fired up Aaron Rodgers after that, which led them, you know, to the playoffs and things like that. Is that what's going to happen here? Where are we at with this?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's going to make him be mad, or I know he's upset about it, but because I'm assuming he's upset because he thought he was getting some more help. He thought they were going to go out there and get the defense better, maybe get an offensive lineman, maybe get him a wide receiver. I know we were all like, no, do not spend the 8th pick on a wideout, but now go back in the draft. If you had to take a wide receiver or another quarterback, what do you take? So I just think he's going to be upset he didn't get any help, and I think it's dumb to give a guy $100 million to – immediately turn around and draft the guy in the same spot that's going to sit for 3 or 4 years. Why not just play Michael Penix and use the $100 million to sign a defensive end, to sign a wide receiver, a cornerback? That's my issue with it. Why waste the money if you're not going to use it?
Double P Media says, in October, I wanted Arthur Smith fired in the Falcons drafting Jaden Daniels or Michael Penix. I can't complain. But you spent $100 million on a proven quarterback. Yes,
he can complain, right? Yeah,
if you didn't sign Kirk Cousins, then that's great.
Yeah,
but right?
Sign Kirk Cousins? That's the question, yeah. Jason. Why do you sign Kirk Cousins and then you skip on what they need?
Look, this organization's been run by idiots for way too long, and this is another example of
who's in charge. Who's making these picks?
Look, I know Thomas Dimitroff got a bad rap, but Terry Fontenot's taken – like, I just think Terry Fontenot makes Thomas Dimitroff look like, you know, the greatest GM in the history of football. There's no way to say it, like, nicely. He's been awful. I mean, I think every draft in the first round, he has just repeatedly gotten it wrong. And this is the most abysmal. And I don't know – like, what collaboration was going on with him, Raheem Morris, and then, of course, getting Arthur Blank to sign off on it. And then Rich McKay supposedly, like, not going to be as involved anymore, but he has been involved. And Rich McKay's influence is just absurd in that building in terms of being able to kind of interject his opinions and having Arthur Blank's ear. And then that kind of permeates throughout and causes, you know, decisions like you saw on Thursday night. The example at the end of, or not the end of, but at the beginning of the press conference I can't remember if it was Terry or Raheem, and they were saying, I think it was Raheem, and he goes, we're not going to be in this position ever again, so we're going to draft our quarterback now. Like, that's great. I'm glad you don't think you're going to be in that position, but time and again, this franchise has been picking in that spot. And
where
I don't know
draft last year. What was the pick they took last year?
It's the eighth pick.
Eighth. What was the pick they took the year before?
Right, right. And then they had fourth with Kyle
they
Pitts.
So
I mean, like, here's the thing: like, there nothing's guaranteed in this league. So to assume, just to like try this messaging, this storyline that, well, we're not going to be picking there anymore. Our team is so great, and we're just going to win a bunch of games now. It's like you're setting yourself up for incredible failure, and wasted this pick. You know, hey, we have a team that can win now, so we're going to go ahead and pick our quarterback for 3 years down the line. I mean, it's it's amazing that people like Terry Fontenot have jobs in these positions. It's amazing that Arthur Blank, for as much money as he has, is making decisions at the very top of running a football team. It's amazing that Rich McKay has been able to have the job of, whether it was GM way back in the day, president, whatever it is they're going to have him doing in business, on the business side of things. It is incredible that this crew of guys have been able to be in this realm for as long as they have. And I know Terry's only been in Atlanta for, 3 years now. But I mean, decisions like this ultimately get you fired. But then again, it's like Arthur Blank,
did
he not, like, in the moment, is he not like, no, you're not taking a quarterback?
Yeah.
Like, this is stupid.
Well, that's don't my take point. A quarterback. Arthur Blank, I think he's telling them to do it. I think Arthur Blank makes every call, and they're just,
he does. He's very involved. And in something like this, Arthur Blank wouldn't come up with the idea. He wouldn't be savvy or smart enough, in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong, to be like, hey, I think you guys need to take a quarterback with this pick. This would be like, hey, our roster's so great. You know, I think if Michael Penix, we love him so much. If he's there, we should take him. You know, the thing is, if Michael Penix isn't there, it's very possible that they take a defensive end. It's very possible they take another position. They love, you know, by what's been reported, they love Michael Penix. And then, and their selling point was, hey, we got our guy down the road because we're going to win a bunch of games now, which is ridiculous.
Shaheed Huckabee, can you put that comment up, Paul?
Yeah, I'm getting there. Hold on. I'm moving down. Real quick, though, man, I lost my train of thought. This has to mean that Kirk Cousins is a two and out. They're only going to pay us 2 years, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to find that out in the third year. You don't draft this guy and tell us that Kirk's going to stay here 4 years. It's just not possible. You'll be on the fifth year option of him by that time.
Yeah, no, you're starting him 2 years, and then you see, you know, if Kirk Cousins is just lighting it up and you go deep in the playoffs, I mean, yeah, you bring him back for a third year. But you've basically told Kirk Cousins how long he's playing here.
Yes. Yeah.
The whole thing is so ridiculous.
Interject here. All that being said, as a fan, this regime is insulting to fans like myself, okay?
Yes.
First of all, they put up an Instagram post that says, we got ourselves
a dog.
Okay? Now, I know Washington's called dogs.
No, they're not.
I mean,
not.
That's a poke in the eye to people like me who wear these goggles, right? I mean, that's a poke in the eye. Second,
is it?
Absolutely.
Yes, that was a 100% slap in the face.
Secondly, Jason, they brought out the Green Bay model. Okay, we got our guy Jordan Love, like we did behind Aaron Rodgers. We got our guy. Okay, let's go back and look at that. When they drafted Jordan Love, what did you say, Andy? They drafted him, 24th, 26th, 28th, whatever.
Yeah.
The year prior, the Green Bay Packers made the playoffs and were 13-3 and had the ninth best defense in the league.
Jordan Love?
Yeah, we were 7-10 and had the 20th best defense in the league last year. Okay, so we are not the Green Bay Packers.
No.
One more thing. This is what Terry Fontenot said when asked about not drafting cornerbacks, which, by the way, is a huge position of need. He said, first of all, we'll definitely keep looking at it. That is a position we would like to have added. But you don't want to force or reach when you shouldn't.
Yeah, sure.
Are you kidding me? They did that two times already. They forced and reached. They are a joke. And they are insulting to fans like myself. They think we're stupid.
Yeah, they think they're smarter than everybody in the room. Like, that's
exactly right. All 31 other teams.
Jordan Love was 21 years old.
God, I need some more blood pressure medicine. Can y'all give me a second?
I told you to go up on the nitroglycerin. I told you. I told you, foaming at the mouth, baby. It's all right.
Steroids. Roid rate is coming out.
He's coming out. That pure testosterone to the butt cheek is coming out.
This team does it to me more than any other. And we walk down the street and watch the Atlanta Braves. By the way, somebody asked me tonight, what if Alex Anthopoulos was our GM for the Falcons?
Oh, my God.
Where would we be right now? Where would we be?
Michael Penix would not be in Atlanta.
We'd be waiting for another parade. We'd have already had one.
Yeah. James says, how about that video of Terry trying to explain the pick to Blaine? Classic Falcons laughingstock image. Yeah. So Cody Chaffins tweeted that out. It went mega viral. He caught that on TV. And Terry was asked about that on, I think it was 99 the game with 99. Dukes and Bell. And he said that he was just telling him about how they could potentially move back up to get Latu. That he was showing him the capital that it would take to move back up. It's one way to
spin it.
Walk back down off of that. Keith Bradshaw says, go Dogs. What's up, Keith? Well, and I saw you, Randy Payne. This is the new slogan for this year, Jason. You haven't been on a show yet. Randy did a great one in 24. He's got another one now. Eat off the floor in 24 is his slogan for this year. So when you hear that on other shows, just know it came from the GOAT.
That makes my blood pressure go way down, by the way.
Let's see. Paul, who should be GM? The best teams, Eagles, Chiefs, Ravens, Steelers, 49ers, and others never picked top 10. And look at them. Who did they get? Yeah, I mean, man, I'm trying to get through these comments. You guys are crushing it tonight, and I was a little bit far behind. Shahid.
That's says, the one I wanted to see. Yeah.
Okay. Shahid swole up in the gym over there. It's giving you a run for your money, Eddie.
I'm scared to disagree with the guy, but the thing is, if Cousins was never the answer, why do you give him $100 million?
Okay. For the folks that are not watching, they're going to be listening to the podcast.
They do.
Shahid said, Cousins was never the answer. 36 and injured. It's not even a sure thing that he'll be ready for the start of the season. Now all that dead cap money for the next 4 years is the same as Ryan's contract. I could see where he kind of has a point there.
I don't disagree with that, but if he's not the answer, why sign the guy? So if you're going to be dead, you're going to be a cap hell again in the next 2 years. Why not just get your 24-year-old rookie quarterback, let him go at it, and keep the $100 million and go somewhere else? That's what, I don't disagree, Shaheen, but I kind of disagree.
Let me throw this out there. Kirk Cousins does not play a preseason game. He probably won't.
No, right? I doubt he will.
Okay. Michael Penix plays all, what are they, three now? Three?
Yeah, three, yeah.
And he balls out. What happens in the town of Atlanta going forward?
Quarterback competition.
Here we go. It's an absolute mess.
Shahid, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm interpreting your comment as like you don't think that Cousins is the answer. Not that the Falcons didn't think that Cousins was the answer.
Right.
I say that because, I mean, clearly the Falcons thought something of him to – give him all that money, and then
they drafted Penix.
Now you've got it. I guess now he's the stopgap quarterback that made $100 million guaranteed. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy to pay a stopgap guy $100 million guaranteed.
Here's one that'll get your blood pressure going a little bit more, Eddie. Five season ending injuries in that quarterback room now from Goat Dog. That hurts. Josh Skelton, I think picking Penix really tells Cousins they have zero confidence in him.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all.
I think it has a little bit to do, hey, we want to make sure you come back off this injury.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it has something to do with him being injured. And I think they want to cover themselves. But again, if you're that concerned about his injury, why sign the guy?
Exactly.
Throw up, I think Andy Adams had a good comment the job security one.
Real quick, Joshua Hammonds, this is funny because my wife, she doesn't know who the Falcons front office is, right? She knows the Falcons. She looked at me after the second pick, which we'll get to. We're not going to just talk on Penix all night. After the second pick, the defensive tackle out of Clemson, she said, there's got to be somebody in there, that's making these picks as a Saints fan. And I was like, babe,
the organization.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, there's somebody, double agent. And I'm like, you have no idea, babe. Terry Fontenot.
He's running the show.
And right here, Joshua Hammonds. Terry Fontenot is a deep agent. Grew up in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Played at Tulane. Worked in the Saints organization for 18 years before coming to Atlanta.
I like it.
You know? So she said that, and she doesn't even know who he is.
Your wife is very observant.
All right. Alex, Andy Adams says, I disagree with Jason on this point. Arthur Blank is behind all this. Blank is making the top round picks each year. Nobody else can be dumber making these picks. I don't
look like I get why you say that. And he's very involved. Trust me. Like from covering the team from, gosh, what years was it? 18 to 20. He's very involved. He's a very hands-on owner when it comes to that stuff. He doesn't know the game at all, though. And so he's a sounding board. He has really bad people giving him advice, and that's kind of where it goes.
Well, he hired those people, Jason, right?
Yeah. Well, because he's a very loyal kind of guy. Loyalty is a big thing to him, and so you know he's got a lot of yes men and a lot of kiss asses in that organization.
Well, my question with all this is, what happened to Win Now? That's what we were told in February, right?
Yeah. Andy's other point that I saw, I thought was a really good one, because that you know you draft your quarterback now, it buys you time. Because, the thing that Ross Tucker said. And it's like, okay, now Fontenot and Raheem could say, okay, look, we want to develop him behind Kirk Cousins, but we got to wait till, you know, he plays. And so you're sitting there saying, okay, so does Terry Fontenot get another 3 years now so that they can see Michael Penix play?
Yeah, does he?
I mean, that's crazy, but kind of brilliant if you're Terry Fontenot and Rich McKay. And, I mean, I'll tell you what, like, somebody in the organization who's no longer there anymore – he once told me that they used to call him was like Teflon Rich, essentially. Like nothing sticks to that guy, and he just keeps having a job. And there's so many people in that organization that cannot figure it out why he's been able to have Arthur's ear and be there. It's just he doesn't do anything conducive to building a winning program, and he's had so much influence to Arthur and that organization. It's bewildering, honestly.
And so with that, we all went to bed on Thursday and we woke up Friday and we listened to the national media, to the Atlanta media, to Bill Shanks covering South Georgia, to Dukes and Bell. I mean, the radio was, classic on Friday in the Atlanta market, Jason. I know you're not here anymore.
I had a friend text me. He was like, I hadn't listened to 92.9 in a while, and it was must listen to on Friday.
Oh, yeah, it was must listen to.
I didn't listen because they carry the Falcons game. Did they hit them pretty hard?
Oh, yeah.
Typically, it's pretty vanilla.
They went hard. They didn't go as hard as 680 because, again, 680
went hard.
Yeah, 680 doesn't have the Falcons. Right, It's like Jason said, when you start seeing these draft pieces come out where it's like, the Falcons had an A-minus draft, and I'll tell you why. It's because they want to keep that connection with an organization.
The Dan Orlovsky one was the most blatant.
Orlando Ledbetter did, Jason. The Orlando Ledbetter gave him an A-minus today. Why do you think that is?
I'm not going to talk about D-Led. I don't know. I appreciate it. I know. I'm not going to talk about
him. John Radford says any player will have a significant impact this season. I guess he's referring to the rest of the picks throughout this draft for the Atlanta Falcons. And so, like I said, Friday, I didn't understand it. Fred F. says, Pinnick is the closest thing to Matthew Stafford. Plus, Zach Robinson was behind the pick 1,000%.
Closest. What is that? Whoa.
I don't know, man.
There was a report out there about people in the Falcons organization thinking that Penix was his arm resembles Stafford. And so obviously Zach Robinson would be the link there because he coached Stafford.
I don't know about that. That may be a stretch.
So with that being said, Friday came along, right? And we had this optimism again, right? A tiny bit of optimism. The Falcons are going to do something great. They had 3 picks on Friday. And then lo and behold, before the draft even really got started, they drafted Rook.
Say it. I want to hear it.
Man, I'm bad.
I know how to say it. Y'all know how to say it?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
How do you say it?
Ohora Horo?
Nope.
Ohora Horo?
Nope.
Oh, God.
Andy?
Ruko?
Nope. Rook Ororo. That's how you say it.
Rook Ororo.
3 of them. Yep. Look it up. He said it's row, row, row your boat, and it's Rook a row, row, row. He said the H's are silent. I looked it up.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
He's Nigerian, so that's where it comes from.
Overrated. That's how it's pronounced, Kevin.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
So they draft this guy. They move up for him, and he's from Clemson. And to be honest with you guys, I'm a pretty big college football fan. I hadn't heard of the guy. I'm just keeping it real.
Had you, Jason?
Had you heard of
him? I'd heard of him, but I didn't know he was a early second round draft pick. I mean, I kind of remember seeing his name watching some Clemson games. I didn't know he was a trade up. I mean, hey, you know what? I remember when the Seahawks took Bruce Irvin, I think like 15th overall, and the world was just like, what are you doing? And then he turned out to be a pretty decent pick. But it happens. I don't know about this one, but I mean, the track record in Atlanta would suggest that they don't know what they're doing.
So right. So you're looking forward to Friday night, and then they draft Rook, and right after him, Newton from Illinois goes, the D tackle. And then two picks after that, Sweat from Texas, the D tackle goes.
I mean, come on, Sweat. He was like, what are they doing?
And you see both those guys, and you just go, man, all right, this is. And what ended up happening, guys, was during that Friday night when the Falcons drafted 35th, they drafted Rook, and or the Saturday, excuse me. When was it?
It was Friday night. It was the second, third,
They draft Rook, and then guess what happens, man? The media is just back on Atlanta like flies on shit, man. They're just, boom, zoomed in on them. Man, they drafted Penix. They've drafted Rook. They've reached on both of their picks now. We're the laughing stock of the entire National Football League. Not only did we have to get it all day Thursday night and then all day Friday, it came back to us again Friday night for a guy that, you know, they probably could have got at that
fourth round.
That 43rd pick, if they wanted to just sit back there and keep that third, that extra third round pick, which, mind you, Cousins is going to cost them something next year too.
Two picks.
Yeah. So you need to maybe stash up, keep those picks there. But instead they moved up, and James Caraway says that this is the most the national media has ever talked about.
That's
the Falcons.
True.
Maybe they're playing 4D chess right now. Maybe
they're. No, I disagree. It's not since Michael Vick went to prison. That's when they talked about him the most.
And then 28-3.
28-3.
So all three of the times that the Falcons have dominated the headlines have all been sad, terrible things for the franchise. Yes.
Classic. Yes.
And then we move forward, guys. So, I mean, I don't.
Before you get there, I thought a cornerback was the pick there. Okay. Maybe. And that's where you take Cooper DeJean, in my opinion.
Or Kool-Aid. Kamari. Or Kool-Aid.
Or Kool-Aid, right?
All three starters are there. So I just want to keep this going, guys. Michael Penix and Rook, I don't think either one of them start. So we're 0-2 on starters. Well, we obviously know
Penix. Your first rounder is supposed to be a starter. That's like, you know, especially if you're in the top half of the draft, your first round pick should be a starter. And here we are.
So Bob's watching over on Facebook. What's up, Bob? Good to see you, my friend. He says Kiper gave the Falcons a C grade, but I believe it was his lowest grade of any team. Yeah, it's going to be hard to find anybody that gives the Falcons a higher grade than C or is not the last on their.
It's not linked to the team like D-Led, who gave him an A-.
D-Led's all right. D-Led's all right.
Come on. I love D-Led, but an A-? Are you kidding me?
I don't know about that. Yeah. What ends up happening, though, the Falcons do in the third round, draft an edge player, Braylon Trice from Washington. I was okay with this pick. Yeah, are we all right there?
Yeah. I mean,
that's fine.
You finally address the position in the third round that you need.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for their sake, he better work out. I mean, I feel bad for a third rounder that is the guy who has to kind of answer the bell at the position of need.
So do we think he's going to be a starter? Did we actually get a starter out of this draft, or do we think he's going to be a rotational guy?
I don't know, but they got another dog, and they can put that up.
Yay, we got a dog.
We got ourselves a second dog.
We're going to get there. We're getting there, Jason. God. Trust me. We're getting there. And then the fourth pick, Brandon Dorlus from Oregon. Didn't know a ton about him. I went and watched his tape. I like the pick. I went and watched his tape. It was about 3 minutes long. I went and watched it. I watched it on my phone. I didn't watch it on the computer. I watched it on my phone. I didn't spend much time there, but I can say I did watch a little tape.
Were you impressed?
Yeah, I was. For a fourth round pick, I was.
Has a player ever put out tape that wasn't impressive?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not really.
But he does play for Dan Lanning. I'll give him that. At least he played for Dan Lanning.
So those two picks, I was like, all right. And then they go to the fifth pick, J.D. Bertrand, homegrown kid.
Yeah.
Tackling.
Yeah, Blessed Trinity, right?
Yeah. Blessed Trinity. Yeah. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that. We get to the sixth round, and this is where all hell breaks out for Eddie. This is where it all breaks out for Eddie. The Falcons draft Jason McClellan. And this is why Eddie wore the goggles at the front, because the whole time he's saying the Falcons need some dogs. The Falcons need Georgia Bulldogs. If they just would have drafted a Georgia Bulldog in round 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
is that seven, how I sound? Is that this, how I sound?
This team would be in the Super Bowl year after year. It'd just be the Atlanta Dogs. We could change the name. We could play inside Sanford Stadium. The whole thing would be great.
Hang on, let me close my eyes.
And do how that. Are those other teams you draft a bunch of dogs doing, by the way? Are they sitting at home when playoffs come? No, they're not. Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to close my eyes and let Paul talk and see if I thought it was you or not. So just going to see if it's
Fred F. says the Falcons draft was a red beans and rice draft. It was. It was.
So it was a great draft. Is that what he means? He's D-led.
Stop talking bad about D-led.
I'm not. I don't like his grade. I love D-led. I said that.
That's fair. That's fair.
Jace McClellan goes off the board there, and Eddie is beside himself, Jason, that the Falcons should have drafted Kendall Milton or Jon Edwards. And I told him at the end of the draft, when neither one of those were drafted, I guess he was the smartest guy in the room, and everybody else in the NFL just couldn't see through
this
those.
This is where it comes into play.
Through those red and black glasses. Is he wrong, wow. Jason? Should the Falcons draft more dogs? This comes up every
it does NFL
draft, and it comes up more now because
you don't draft players from a school because they're local. You don't do it because of that. You draft the good players anywhere because they're good players. The Falcons don't do that though. They don't do
that's
either.
The problem. The Falcons don't do that.
I think
the Falcons don't draft the good because the Falcons could have had they could have had a host of really good Georgia players over the years that have gone on to, you know, look at the Philadelphia Eagles for that matter right now.
Jordan.
They could have had Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter was right there. They could have had doesn't Jordan matter.
Davis is right there too.
They could have had Jalen Carter and they decided not to take him.
Okay. Can I interject here since you're shitting all over me? Okay. Can I read you a couple of things, Paul?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Jace McClellan, 1,981 yards over his career, 5.6 average, 18 touchdowns. Okay? That's who they drafted.
Pretty good.
Kendall Milton, 1,839 yards, 6.2 yard average, 23 touchdowns. Oh, my God. Jace McClellan just jumped off the page there. Draft his ass. That's the difference. It doesn't matter at that point in the draft, okay? Kendall Milton puts my eyes on the Falcons next year. And the stats I just read you are almost identical. And actually, Kendall Milton's are a tad better. And he was hurt.
Well,
that's the point.
One thing I'll say is Jace McClellan's not playing. I mean, he's playing special teams. Jace McClellan's not playing running back. He's playing gunner or whatever it is on kickoff and punts and all that.
So who gives a crap? Draft a local kid. That's the point. Who cares?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to, you know, Kendall Milton was a great running back for Georgia, but I don't know. Can he do what Jace McClellan can be is probably projected by this team to
run down the field and make a tackle on a kickoff, which is going to
change, probably not, honestly. That's a lot harder than it looks. I mean,
they're changing that. Big deal.
See, this is what I dealt with all weekend, Jason.
And you're going to continue to deal with it.
And then right after, hey, Andy, right after they drafted Jace McClellan, they had the next pick.
It made it
10 times worse because they drafted a wide receiver and Marcus Rosemead Jackson was still there. So it was like it was two punches straight to the dome for Eddie. He felt them in both cheeks that the Falcons gave to him.
But I punched back.
Yeah, he punched back, but apparently he didn't punch hard enough because the Falcons didn't land any dogs. I guess you did punch back a little bit. They landed a dog later on.
That's a token pick to make the practice squad. Great.
But though, if they would have gotten Kendall Milton and if they would have drafted Marcus Rosemead Jackson, would those have been token picks as well? Because do you think this Casey Washington is going to make the team? I don't know. I mean, is he? Would you rather draft Rosemead and then cut him or let him go somewhere else where he may have a shot to play?
Ooh, there you go. Yeah.
Well, if he sucks, he sucks. I mean, they cut Justin Schaefer, right? They put him on the – and that was a token pick, by the way. They missed on Jamari Sawyer. They pick up Justin Schaefer, and he goes to the practice squad. He's not
even in the NFL.
Schaefer got selected before Sawyer, right?
Yes, he did.
Schaefer, and then, then the Chargers got Sawyer later.
That's right.
That is the Falcons 101 right
there. 100%. There you go.
Here's perfect. Here it is. Eddie also won the Falcons to draft Cedric Van Praan in the second round. He is a bit biased. Just Eddie, all I'm asking is
Do we need a center?
Yes, I guess you can
take that. Cedric Van Praan going to be a starting center for the Bills?
Probably a starter.
Okay.
Maybe.
What?
I don't know who this year.
Jason, is Cedric Van Praan going to start this year?
It's hard to start as a rookie center, especially if you're
a fifth round center. Do the Bills have an awesome center?
They have a good offensive line in general.
Okay.
I don't know who they are. I can compete for center
at Atlanta right now.
But like Kevin just said, he posted on there, he said more value in Cedric Van Praan getting him in the second round than what they picked in the second round, which is true. Cedric Van Praan would have brought more value with a second round pick than roll you both. So, yes, I agree. That would have been a better pick.
Thank you, Fred.
Dalman is serviceable at center, Josh Sheldon says. He's
serviceable. Thank you. Exactly right.
But he's not great. That's why you get a center. I don't think I would have taken him in the second round. But again, I would have never taken row your boat in the second round either.
Exactly. So at this point, who gives a crap? Just take it.
See, this right. is.
I think I won that argument. I think I won.
I think you did. I agree with you, Eddie. I agree. I think so. Jason?
I'm going to wear these the rest of the show then, okay?
Okay. Here's your question, Jason, because you'll probably know more. Who's going to be better, row your boat or Cedric Van Praan? There we go.
There's no way to answer that.
Y'all know that guy's going to suck. Y'all know good and well he's terrible.
Well, here's one thing that I will say. A lot of times players who are good players go to bad teams and they're never good because they got a raw deal. And I feel that way about a lot of Falcons players who get drafted by this organization and then they turn out not to be great players.
Because it's
a
bad organization.
Yeah, and you don't develop and then you're out of the league.
Yep.
I think the best example of all this, and y'all might disagree. I don't know. But David Carr, you know, Derek's older brother, first overall pick by the Houston Texans. I think he was sacked something like 76 times his rookie year in Houston. And that ruins you. It ruins you. And you can never play the game the same way. And I'm convinced that a lot of, you know, that situation being a rookie quarterback and having to go in there and do that. And I think that's also an argument. I will say that's an argument for Michael Penix. I still think it's a dumb decision. But when you do take a quarterback and you let them sit behind a starter, a stopgap, if you will, I think the Patriots right now, their stopgap is what's his name? I'm blanking on his name. Dude, he was with the Colts recently. He's been there before. Brissett. You know, he's there. In the case that Drake May is not ready, they have him. But Drake May, by year two, is going to start. Sorry, got off on a tangent. David Carr, you know, if he wasn't put in that situation in year one, it's possible his career is different. There's a lot of guys where I think that they get put in these terrible situations.
Joey Harrington's another one,
yeah.
Yep.
Brock Bowers, that's not going to happen to. I think the Raiders are on the up. I love Antonio Pierce as a head coach. I think, you know, if Josh McDaniels was still there, you know, he'd be.
And Bowers is sitting in the pocket getting killed. I mean,
that's exactly.
There's other, you know, you could be in a situation where your coordinator changes and you keep getting really bad offensive line coaches and then you fade out. Stuff like that. There's a lot of situations. When I covered the Falcons, I had a former executive who gave me this information once. Well, I wouldn't say it's information. It was more of just an observation. And he was like, you know, you would think that the NFL would have – it's the highest standard of football. You would think it would have just the best coaches at every position, like your best position coaches, your best trainers, your this and that. And he goes, you would be so surprised at how many teams, including the Atlanta Falcons, have just people who are so underqualified for positions. There's way it's a league that's way too much. Whether you want to call it's not really family, but nepotism. You know, people getting opportunities that have no business getting opportunities at that level, and that's throughout the league. And a lot of that contributes to why you see these situations with players. So to go back to your point, I know that I kind of got off on Oruro and Cedric Van Pran, who's going to be the better player. A lot of it, you know, here's the thing. If I'm going to make a judgment call right now, I'm going to say Cedric Van Pran because he's going into a much more stable organization.
Yep.
So much of it is about fit and where you're drafted. Kamari Lassiter going to the Texans, which is crazy because just a few years ago, the Texans had to overhaul its organization to get into this spot right now. And you all of a sudden look at this roster that they've built in just two to three years, and you're like, wow, Kamari Lassiter. Great job. Like great job landing there. James Cook, when he got taken by Buffalo, excellent position for you.
It's the same reason Eddie and I both said, hey, look at Javon Buller going to Green Bay, because Green Bay is just a winning culture. I don't know what their secondary
does. Darnell Washington to Pittsburgh. Anybody to the Baltimore Ravens.
Right. I don't know.
Dejon Edwards there too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just Dejon's an undrafted free agent, but I'm like, hey, he went to the Steelers.
Yeah.
He's got a shot. He's got a chance. Much like with me, I think Rosemary Jackson's probably the better prospect out of him and Edwards, but Rosemary Jackson's going to the Commanders. I'm like, man, I hope something can happen for him because it all depends on
Dan Quinn. Yeah, they got Dan Quinn as their head coach.
You know, I think what it boils down to is exactly that, Jason. It's all about where you land. And we're talking about a guy the Falcons drafted 35th, and we're comparing him to a guy that got drafted 141st. You know, that's kind of crazy that we're doing that, but that's where the standards are for each organization.
So we're getting close to the close of the show. Can I pose something, Paul, before we get out of here?
Absolutely.
Around the room. What is the Falcons record next year, and do they make the playoffs?
Man.
Paul, go ahead.
10-7?
Yeah.
Do they make the playoffs?
I think they make the playoffs, yeah, I do. I think Kirk Cousins is a really good
quarterback. So with 10-7, they make the playoffs. Does this draft matter?
So then I guess, yeah. So I see what you're asking. I see where you're getting at. Yes, no, because obviously you want that guy on the defensive side of the ball because, you can go 10-7 and win your division. This is like Foster's saying right here. The division is weak. So, yes, you'll probably go 10-7.
Okay.
But once you get to the playoffs, you're fighting against really good teams that you're going to need that eighth overall pick to do something for you.
That's a success. That's a winning record. That's going to the playoffs. That's a step. That's what we want, right?
I guess you've got a chance once you get to the playoffs.
Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking 10-7 and winning the South. But again, you're going to win the South and get put out in the first round. So.
Jason?
Is that a success? I don't know. I mean, it could be 9-8. You know, they're going to be right there in that same area that they're always at.
So
y'all seen the schedule, y'all?
I'm looking at it right now. That's what I was just looking at.
This is not a over 500 team with the schedule.
They may be under 500.
This is like 6-11, 7-10.
What y'all said, Paul?
6-11
with a good draft, Paul. That's two or three more wins, right? Probably, and they make a run in the playoffs.
Okay, take back what I said. I had not looked at the schedule yet.
Bills, Lions, 49ers, Panthers. I mean, Panthers. Buccaneers twice, obviously. Jaguars, Patriots, Cowboys.
Saints are not
Patriots, twice. You assume. I don't know. But, I mean, Patriots aren't really the Patriots of old. Cowboys, obviously. Saints twice. Dolphins. No, I mean, there's not a chance this team is over 500.
Wow.
Okay, so they got the Panthers the first week. Say they win that. Do they beat the Broncos?
Where's the game?
Maybe. No, they don't have Panthers first week. They had Eagles first week.
Oh shit!
I didn't even say Eagles. No,
that's a blowout.
What are you looking at, Paul? I'm looking at the
2021 schedule.
Earlier, he's telling us players that got drafted in 2010, and he was,
I know.
Okay, hold on. I was looking at the 2021 schedule. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs. Let me look at 2024.
I might have been doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think we're looking at 2021.
That's literally the first thing that pops up.
It is. So, hey.
they're not going to.
Panthers, Broncos, Raiders, Vikings, Saints, Eagles, Bucks, Commanders, Panthers, Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, Saints.
You still have,
That doesn't sound easy.
Vikings, it's easier to me, you look at Vikings, Saints twice, Eagles, Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers with Harbaugh. I don't know, man. They could be Steelers. Yeah, no. This is a 7-10. I think 7-10, 8-9.
Wow.
And that's the thing. They're right.
It's no longer not looking at 21. It's no longer a 6-win season. Jeez. I was looking at it going, oh my God.
I was too, man. I was like, this schedule is crazy. This one upcoming, they haven't announced the actual schedule yet, like what days and stuff like that. But
yeah.
So Jason, what you just said, 7-10, nothing changes. We're right back here again next year talking about the same shit, basically, right?
Yeah, except for you'll probably still have the same GM.
That's what I mean. Nothing changes.
Same GM, yeah. Nothing changes.
Yeah. Same GM, same coach, everything. Yeah. Same
hey, coach. Much like
you know what though, I do want to say this though. Like I really like Raheem Morris as a head coach.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I do like Raheem Morris.
But here's the thing. Like, I will defend Dan Quinn as a head coach, which I know everybody's going to go crazy. To me, it's that building. I don't know if there's a coach that can't succeed with the current way this organization operates.
Don't you think that Raheem Morris gets you a couple more wins than Arthur Smith being an
idiot? Arthur Smith was terrible. Like he was terrible.
Right. So that could garner
you. Yeah, what Raheem does is Raheem brings you still got to have players, right? You got to have the players.
Yeah, but you do but, that. It does come down to coaching in the last
year. Yeah, what it comes down to is those little things like personnel, personnel rotations and timeouts and game management, all the stuff that Arthur Smith was just god-awful at.
Yep.
Raheem Morris should be better at that. And no coach is great at it. Like, you go around the league, you go around college football, it is – It's one of those things that's harder. That's easier said than done. It's a really hard aspect. You have the headsets on. You got so many things, so many bullets firing in many directions, and then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, oh shit, I gotta call it.
Just be mediocre. Yeah. Don't be awful, which was what Arthur Smith was, right?
Yeah. I think Arthur Smith, you know, the decision with Desmond Ridder, and then all the other stuff, not playing his first round running back the way a first round running back should be played. Yeah, I mean, there are just so many things there that Raheem will be able to. Raheem's for my time there, Raheem is a very just like normal person, approaches things logically, you know, with reason, you know, very confident in himself, obviously, not necessarily cocky, but NIT, James, that's great.
If only.
Falcons to the NIT. But Raheem's a lot like a Dan Quinn in that regard. I think you're probably not going to get all the platitudes and the slogans and the sayings and all that kind of stuff that rub fans the wrong way. But you're going to get, you know, defensive minded head coach, players coach, good motivator. It's just some things are so hard to overcome, and I have no faith in the building outside of Raheem as a coach and the coaching staff
put him in position. At least you're not going to get a total jackass in the press conferences, right? Which we
No. Raheem's a really good jackass. Raheem's a really good dude. Like he's a really good guy. He's not a passive aggressive, thin skinned person. The way, you know, if they lose, he owns it. And I think that's something that fans, you know, if they don't win enough games over time, you know, they'll be pissed and they'll want him out. But he's not somebody that runs from it.
Paul, take it away.
Jermaine King says we really needed an emergency all things Georgia show after the first night of the draft. We did not, Jermaine. That would not have been suited. I would have died on air. Yeah, it would have been not good. Guys, we went a little bit over. I tried to get us out a couple times, but Jason Butt, I can't cut Jason Butt off. I can't do it.
No, I talk too much. I'm sorry.
The man's a legend. The man is a true legend. We appreciate him coming on the show. You've got an open seat. Right down there in the corner. Whenever you want to come back,
just text me whenever you want. I'll hop on.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Before we leave out though, Braves, Andy, take them away real fast.
The Braves are 19-7. They have the best record in baseball. They had six games this week. The starters, or they went 5-1. The starters threw 42 innings, which is 7 innings per starter.
That's crazy.
Four earned runs with an ERA of 0.86.
And Paul, try to keep your Woody out of the shot as we talk about Bryce Elder and how good.
Hey, look, right?
He's been good.
If he can pitch like that, Paul and James, y'all can have every Woody, and y'all can do all y'all want. That is It doesn't matter. We'll take it.
I give you hey, kudos, man. Man.
Hey, go Braves. I want them to have the best record at the end of April. I got money on that.
And Max Fried, 9 innings, shutout, complete game shutout. He threw a max. That was amazing. So
look, they couldn't get away. We couldn't do one show without Jason bringing up some type of gamble.
It's in my blood, man.
It was unprompted. I didn't even have to prompt it. I was going to ask. I didn't need to. I knew it was coming.
Sitting there waiting. I got most wins. I said best record. It's most wins in April. So, yeah, keep it going. Let's get it done.
Pretty smart. Guys, we appreciate you so much. The chat was going crazy tonight. We appreciate that. Obviously, everybody's trying to cope with what happened with the Falcons this year. But guess what? We'll be here for you throughout the entirety of the season. We'll be back next week. We'll talk a little bit more. Eddie's got his glasses on, his red and black goggles for the Georgia Bulldogs. And we'll see you next
week,
7:30 for Andy Stowe, Eddie from Ackworth, and a special guest from Jason Butt. We appreciate it. If you're not already subscribed, hit that subscribe button. And guys, before you leave, hit that like button for me. It helps a ton, and I want more likes than Coach John and Roddy's show this week. Help me out. We'll talk to you next Sunday.